to 724. 724. In the book. There is a card over here on the other side of the organ that's for our pastor. So if you would like to take the opportunity to write a little note of encouragement to him, there's a card right over here on the other side of the organ that you can do that with. Okay? Next Saturday night, set your clocks ahead 1 hour. All right? So we're going to lose an hour of sleep. It's not something we would prefer, I suppose, but I'm guessing some of us would like to be how my brother is and how Kathy's mom, Dory, where they don't change the time at all. They just leave it the same all year long. But anyway, that's not what we have here. So anyway, so make sure you set your clocks ahead 1 hour next weekend. Following the service, the men on the pastoral search committee will be meeting, so trust that all of us that are on that committee have made plans to be here for this afternoon to talk about what needs to happen because of our pastor's health. So I think that's all the announcements that I'm aware of. Oh, Brother Jeff Coat will be here next week. That's right. I forgot about that. He was already scheduled to come. So Brother William Jeff Coat, one of our missionaries in India, will be here next Sunday. We'll be preaching all day long. Okay. I think that's it. So let's get back to singing. Let's stay right on the same page we were. 739, New Life in Christ. scheduled for this week. Brother Dave. So let's sing happy birthday to Brother Dave Root.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
All right. Very good. Well, we have some children here today, so they can be dismissed to go ahead to their class. All right. Obviously, Donna is not able to be with us right now because of pastor's health, but I'm glad that my mother is able to teach the class. And she's been doing that for a little while now. Of course, Donna was with her up until this week, but they'll be fine. So, good opportunity for my mother. Okay, let's turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 1. And we'll be looking at, we looked at verse 1 last week. We're looking at verse 2 today. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Verse 2 says this, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Interesting. The word "his" refers back to everything that was said in verse 1. The man that is blessed of the Lord. Why is he blessed? We already saw three things in verse 1. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Those are things he doesn't do, but what does he do instead? He delights in the law of the Lord, and he meditates upon that day and night. I had a preacher tell me one time who grew up in on a farm that the whole meditation thing is like the cow. Chews its food and spits it back up and chews it again. And you know that cows have seven stomachs. So they chew their food and they swallow it and it goes down into digestion. And then they bring it back up over and over again. That's what this word meditation is all about. We're constantly looking into the law of the Lord. And even when we can't physically look at it, we should be thinking about it up here. And we've been told that many times about prayer, too, where sometimes we can't, the tradition is to bow our heads and close our eyes or kneel, whatever it might be. Well, there may be many times where we can't do that because we're in the middle of something else, like driving, and we can't do that. Well, it's not so much the position, but what is the heart attitude? So, all right, let's say verses 1 and 2 together. Psalm 1, 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Okay. Lorenzi?
Okay, if you have a Bible, let me turn. All right, Psalms chapter number 1. Good morning, everyone. And glad to be here, not on the circumstances, but I'm glad to be here. And we're praying for the preacher and his family and praying for this church as well, just to let you know that. Psalms chapter number 1 this morning. The fact that I was here last week and found out what your memory verses were made a little easier for me to, in my prayers of, Lord, what should I preach this week? And so I have a message that I want to, we'll probably spend the day in Psalm 1. And so I want to kind of just give you a breakdown of the chapter, just kind of look at it a little bit this morning. What I want to do is I want to read the chapter first and give you just a kind of a topic. And then, like I said, this morning in Sunday school, do a point, next service, do a point, and Lord willing, this evening, hopefully finish up on the chapter. It's a great chapter. It's a great book. Amen. I don't know about you, but every time I read the Psalms, I always get something special. Okay, good. All right, okay. Brother Jay's like, that's corny. No. But anyway, praise the Lord. Psalms chapter 1. Let's read the chapter. Thank God it's only 6 verses. Amen. Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Verse 4 kind of brings a little shift here. It says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I titled this message that I want to deal with out throughout the day. We're looking at godly people. Godly people. In fact, it's amazing. Last week I preached on being holy. I mean, this ain't too far from that. You know, you can't be holy if you're not godly, right? And so on. Godly people. Now, if I'm not mistaken, it's only 6 verses, but yet it calls the individual righteous in here. It doesn't call them godly. But I want you to note the shift in verse number 4. Look at the first part of verse number 4, because in verses 1 to 3, he lays out the godly, if I'm not mistaken. He doesn't use the term godly, but he lays out, hey, here's what godly people are. Verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. This is characteristics. In fact, if I could give you that, you know, the general topic I want to speak about is being godly, right? But the specific thing I want to look at is characteristics of the godly. Okay. Now, the reason I know he's talking about those that are godly in verses 1 to 3, because look at verse number 4, just the beginning of the verse. The ungodly are not so. Think about that. He just got done saying verses 1, 2, and 3, here's an individual that doesn't do this. Here's an individual that does this. Here's an individual that has this. And by the way, the ungodly are not so. And so obviously he's talking about the godly, amen? And so let me just do this. This morning we'll start in just one of the characteristics, and Lord willing, throughout the day we'll try to focus on the rest of them. But the first thing I want us to note about the godly, if you will, godly people, number one, are careful people. Careful people. And what I mean by that is this. Godly people are careful to maintain separation. By the way, that's one of the reasons they are godly. Amen. We live in an ungodly world. It's dirty all around us. And if we're going to stay clean and stay godly, if you will, then we have to walk through this life very careful. Amen. In fact, I think one word that probably would be a good word to indicate the thought of careful is the word circumspect. In the book of Ephesians, it talks about walking circumspect. When you think about circumspect, there's two words that really make up this word circumspect: prayerful and careful. In fact, I think Jesus put it this way: watch and pray. Amen. And that's exactly how you and I that are saved need to go through this life. If we're going to stay right and stay clean and stay holy and stay godly, then we're going to have to be very, very sober-minded, very vigilant, very careful, right? Now, let's see here. By the way, let me just say this about godly people. They are careful to maintain separation from the world. You and I have to maintain separation from the world. Now, I want you to look at verse 1, because this is what the emphasis is. We're talking about verse 1 this morning. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We have to be careful of the advice of the world. Amen. By the way, sometimes the advice of the world is so, sometimes it sounds like, wow, yeah, wow, that might be, you know, we got to be very, very careful. We're not getting our philosophy from Oprah. Can I get a witness on that one? Amen. Can I get a witness on that one? We got to be careful. We're not getting our counsel from Dr. Phil, you know. And so on. We have to be very, very careful. We're not listening to the world's advice and philosophy on life. Amen. Because the world and us are different. Amen. And we need to maintain that difference, by the way. That's what actually makes us holy, if you will. So verse number one says this: blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And then it says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. We have to definitely be careful who we hang with. Birds of a feather flock together. Amen. Somebody said, tell me who you hang with. I'll tell you what you're like. Amen. Verse number one goes on. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Would you turn with me for a moment, please, to James chapter number one. James chapter number one, please. And I'm going to look just in a moment here in James chapter number one. Listen, you and I live in this world, and boy, we got to maintain separation. Amen. And I'll be honest with you. I think we're in a day and an age where, boy, Christians just don't do that. Churches don't do that. Amen. I just saw somewhere that, you know, T.D. Jakes, I don't agree with him. I don't even know him very well. I just know that he's on TV, but and a, you know, big wig preacher for many. But for supposedly he now like accepts homosexuality, you know. You know, the bigger these people get, the more they have to accept so that they can maintain their, you know, financial givings and everything else. Joel Osteen, boy, I'll tell you what, he supposedly stands on a lot of good things, by the way, secretly. I heard him or I saw a little clip where, you know, he's the world is interviewing him and they're saying, sir, you know, what do you think about homosexuality? He says, well, you know, and he's but he's got the different hair than I do. We're kind of, you know, same body built and face and everything. Well, you know, I believe it's wrong and I believe God condemned. But I just preach positive. I don't get into the negative. Well, then why do you think he's got so many people in that stadium? You know, woe unto you when men speak well of you. When I'm listening to an ungodly, not that I'm listening to ungodliness on the radio, but somebody's, what I'm going to call them, big talk radio, you know, you got some people talking, yeah, stuff like that, just, you know, talking political stuff. And this guy's so lost. You know, I like to watch Joel Osteen. This guy's like, I mean, whacked. Woe unto you. And so they said, well, hold on a minute. They said, well, you never really say anything. Well, I don't want, my ministry's not, I'm just an uplifter. And so the lady that's interviewing him is a worldly woman, and she's speaking to him, and she's confused. She just doesn't understand how he can think it's wrong and yet doesn't even speak against it. In fact, sometimes it's promoted to some degree in their church. People, you know, one of the problems in the Old Testament God had with the nation of Israel, actually with the priesthood, they did not make a difference between the clean and the unclean for the sake of the people, to understand that. Leadership needs to make a difference, needs to really help people to see what's right and what's wrong from the scriptures, amen? When the priest, when the leaders do not explain, people don't get it. They don't understand it, amen? And so we're living in a day and age where people are losing their separation. Churches are losing their separation. And a lot of people are losing these things for the wrong reason. Amen. And so we got to be very, very careful. We're not trying to, it's not trying to be popular. We're just trying to be right with the Lord. Amen. That's the most important thing. You know, if you drop things, then people will come in and you'll get a crowd. But what crowd are you getting? I don't, you know, I'd rather have a handful of people that love the Lord and want to live, you know, for the Lord than to have, you know, a lot of people that aren't interested in it. Amen. That's the for sure. Amen. And so I want you to look with me, by the way, Romans ain't going to help me, but James chapter number one, I get stuck talking. I lose my place. Amen. Look at James chapter number one. I want you to look at verse number 27. You and I as Christians, boy, we gotta try to make sure that we walk through this dirty world and stay clean and stay right and stay separated, if you will, from the defilement that's in this world. James chapter one, look at verse number 26. Let's get a little context here. Verse number 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, by the way, anybody can seem to be religious, but things ain't always what they seem to be. Amen. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain or empty. And he emphasizes the fact that, you know, our tongue really reveals ourselves. Amen. But look at verse number 27.
You know, he talked about vain religion, right? Empty religion. But here in verse number 27, he talks about pure religion, meaning a person who's really, really trying to live right for the Lord. He said, pure religion and undefiled, get this, before God. Those that seem to be religious can seem to be religious to men. But those that are truly religious, and I mean pure religion, living right, that's before God, could God sees it. Amen. Everything is open and naked before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Amen. Verse number 27, he says this, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. And by the way, that's what we ought to strive for, to be what we ought to be before God and God alone, first and foremost. Amen. If I'm what I ought to be before God, it doesn't matter what I am before men. By the way, I'll be before men what I ought to be. Most of the time, they won't want you to be that anyway. Amen. And so it's pleasing the Lord is the main thing. So pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions. And I think the emphasis is helpfulness. When you're truly what you ought to be, you will be helpful, especially to those in need. And at this particular time, widows and fatherless children were in great need. And so he's saying, look, if you truly are a righteous person, if you're truly living for the Lord, you're going to be helpful to the hurting, no doubt about it. But not only that, he said, you're not only going to help the widows and fatherless in their affliction, but you're going to keep yourself unspotted from the world. You and I, that's our goal. If we're Christians and we're trying to live for God, we live in a very dirty world. Amen? In fact, it's getting dirtier. It really is. As the days go on, it is getting dirtier. Now Disney's putting in one of their new shows, you know, now a scene of homosexuals. Now they're starting to, you know, you got, by the way, homosexuality is very, the percentage is very small. But the fact is the media has given them the microphone. You could be the smallest one in the gathering. If you got the microphone, your voice is loud. And because your voice is loud, people think, oh my, you know what I mean? We got to really pay attention here. And the fact of the matter is now people are starting to break down and things are starting to break down. It's even worse and worse. And so as the world's dirty as it is and it's getting dirtier, you and I have to really, really be careful to go through this world and through this life and not allow the dirt of this world to stain our lives. Amen. We have to. And by the way, there is a responsibility here. That's why it says, listen, he keeps himself unspotted from the world. It is your responsibility, it is my responsibility to keep. And didn't it say in 1 John, my little children, keep yourselves from idols. You've heard often in the scriptures, sanctify yourself. That we are responsible for ourselves, first and foremost. Amen. And by the way, those in leadership are not only responsible for themselves, they're responsible for others, but always for themselves, first and foremost. Amen. Take heed unto yourself and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer. So a man of God, a leader, has to be very, very careful to maintain cleanliness and separation for the sake of others as well. Amen. And so in this portion here, the godly people are careful people. They are careful to maintain separation from the world. Now, sometimes we don't throw ourselves in the world, like the prodigal son did, if you will, by way of example. Sometimes we don't throw ourselves into the world. But that doesn't keep the world from getting to us. Amen? By the way, the devil, that's his specialty. Just because some people haven't gone out into the world doesn't mean the world has not gotten into them. Amen? In fact, I believe it or not, there was a time that Peter was rebuked for being worldly. Do you remember Jesus was saying, I need to go to Jerusalem. I need to go. They're going to mock me. They're going to curse me. They're going to spit on me. They're going to crucify me. And Peter jumped in the way and said, not so, Lord. I'm not going to let this happen. And you know what the Lord said to him? Get behind me, Satan. By the way, Peter wasn't Satan, but Peter was influenced by Satan. Get thee behind me, saints. That's what Jesus said to Peter. Do you know what else Jesus said? You savor the things of the world more than the things of God. Wow, you and I would not consider that what he did as worldliness. Worldliness is I'm not going to let God's will be done, which Jesus going to the cross was God's will to be done. Peter said, no, I'm not going to let that. I'm going to stop. And Jesus said, no, you're more concerned. You're more mindful. You're more concerned about things of the world than you are the things of God. Amen. And so worldliness is not just, how you look, if you will. It's an attitude. Amen. It's an attitude that we all got to be very, very careful. Boy, the devil travels in many ways in this day and age. TV, radio, many different ways. Amen. To try to defile us in one way or the other. Amen. The world, by the way, you and I are to be separated from what? The world. And let me just say this. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 2, please. Ephesians chapter number 2. You and I, if we're going to be godly people, we have to be separated from the world. And then we have to maintain that separation. And by the way, we have to be very, very careful. Amen. We got to be careful of isolation. You know what I'm saying to you? Some people want to just get saved, go live on a mountain, and never contact another human being. But that's not the case, is it? I mean, other people around us have to be saved, right? We have to be the light of the what? World. We can't get out of the world and be the light, amen? And so the tough thing is we got to try to reach people where they are, and yet we got to maintain our own sanity and sanctity, amen? And so, we got to be very, very careful. I mean, Jesus, thank God, he ate with the publicans and sinners, right? But his intention was he preached the word to them. Some people use that text to say, well, I'm going to go down to the bar now. I'm not going to do the drinking. I'm just going to eat nuts and drink soda and try to witness to people. That might not be the best idea. Amen. But so we got to be very, very careful. We got to try to reach them, but we got to try to maintain our sanity and sanctity. The world, Ephesians chapter number 2, I want you to understand this thought. The world, we're talking about being separated from the world. The world are the people around us who are without God. That's the world. Unsaved people that are around us without God. Now, what are these people? They're lost. They're not saved. And much of their philosophy and much of their goals and aims and ambitions are from a worldly perspective. Amen. And so we have to be careful that their aims, goals, ambitions, and everything else don't influence us. Amen. In the wrong way. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. Look at verse number 12. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 12. And it's talking about after people get saved, but he mentions what they were before that. Verse number 12, that at that time, before you got saved, at that time, you were what? Without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. And to get the next statement, without God in the world. Unsaved people are without God, without God's word in this world. They're everything about their life is totally different than ours. Amen. And how can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. Amen. And so we be very, very careful. Amen. That the world don't suck us in. Now, and go back, if you would, to Psalms chapter number 1, please. Psalms chapter number 1. And so you and I, if we're going to be godly people, we have to be careful people. We have to be very, very careful about our associations, our affiliations, who we connect with, and so on. Amen. Very, very careful. In Psalms chapter number 1, I mentioned this, by the way, last week, I believe I mentioned this, that in Psalms chapter number 1, verse number 1, we can see three levels of worldliness, three levels of worldliness, or if I could put it this way, three levels of contact with the world. There's three different levels of contact with the world, and I want you to note them. The first one, I mentioned this last week, but in case you weren't here, when we talk about blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, I think of that as a casual contact. As you're walking through this world, you got a casual contact, okay? And by the way, that's how worldliness begins. It's a casual thing, amen? And what happens is then you got, the verse goes on, he said, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now you got what I call considerable contact. Considerable contact. You see, you get away from the Lord, you start walking in the wrong way, okay? And you get casual contact with the world. And all of a sudden, it gets so much of your attention that you stand, you stop, and you get more engrossed in it. Anybody ever do that with something? Not the world necessarily, but, you know, a message or something. You're listening to something or, you know, you're watching something and it just gets a glance. And then all of a sudden it was interesting. And you stop and you. And so it was casual. And then all of a sudden it becomes considerable. And so worldliness is we start to get away from the Lord just a little here, just a little there. And by the way, that's how the devil gets us. A little sleep, a little slump, and a little. And then before you know it, a little bit, and then before you know it. And so we're walking through. The devil gets us to walk in the wrong way. We start to walk into the world. And then before you know it, the world gets so much of our attention that we stop. And now we give it considerable contact. And then we have here, the last point is this. We go from walking, which is casual. We go from standing, which is considerable. And then all of a sudden we go, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Sitting is, I mentioned this last week, comfortable contact. Comfortable contact. You're walking through, something gets your attention. You stop, you give it more of your attention. And before you know it, you're sitting down. A hockey game's going on. I got something to do. I'm walking by. A great score happens. By the way, I like watching the Flyers, although they're not doing that great. But I'm walking by. I really got something else. I really don't want to get into this. A good goal happened, and I'm like this, and I kind of give it that. I'm like, oh, yeah, all right. And then before you know it, I'm just standing there for a few. Anybody ever experienced this? And I'm just, maybe not with hockey, but something else. And then I'm just standing there. Before you know it, I'm like sitting on the couch. That's the way it seems to work with worldliness. We're trying to go through this world and live for God. We start to drift a little bit and walk in the wrong way. And before you know, we start to give our attention more considerable to the world. And before you know it, we've gotten so far from the Lord, we're actually sitting in the world and it doesn't bother us. Amen? If you've never been there, thank God. Pray you don't ever get there. Amen? But these are the different levels. And it always starts out a lot of times with that one level, one thing first. I want to show you this in a maybe just a different light. Here's another way of looking at it. How about there's three steps to worldliness? We're trying to maintain separation from the world, right? Here's three steps to worldliness. Let me show you. Turn to James chapter number 4. Let me show you the first step. James chapter number 4, please. James chapter number 4. And we all have to be careful. We all have to be careful. You know, I don't know who it was last week. Me and a brother here were fellowshipping. I think it might have been Brother Bill. We're talking about deep sea fishing. Anybody go deep sea fishing? I went maybe three times. After getting sick, I don't go no more. I mean, it's not the place you want to get sick, believe me. But anyway, if you're ever out on the ocean, you know, we used to go down the shore and we get a little boat and just kind of, you know, you rent them and we go out a little bit and you go out a little bit further, you go out a little bit further. Now, as long as you can see the land, you pretty much know where you are. But when you go a little bit further out into the fishing and you lose sight of the land, if you have any understanding about being in a boat, all the water looks the same. We stop the engine. We're throwing rods out there and everything else. But I don't know this and I don't understand. If you don't anchor, you drift and you don't realize you're drifting. You have no idea. And then all of a sudden, we're trying to get back to where we left. It might have took us, you know, half hour to get where we are. It took us 2 hours to get back. Hold on, what happened? We drifted and I didn't even realize it. You can drift away from the Lord without even realizing it. Matter of fact, in my own personal spiritual life, there's been times, you know, not too distant that I started drifting in one area or another. And I'm not talking gross, wicked, you know, I'm just talking about something. And I woke up and I'm like, whoa, what am I doing here? You know, I got to get back. You can drift. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Hebrews 2 talks about, you know, when the word's spoken, we got to give really the earnest heed to what is being said, lest we let it what? Slip. You know, sometimes we drift from the Lord, you know, by the way, his word don't ever drift from us, but we can drift from it. Amen. But you can drift and not even realize it. Amen. When the word of God is the land, when the word of God is the fixed reference and you drift away from that, you don't even realize how far you got. If I'm not mistaken, I think the nation of Israel got so far from God during a time period. Remember when they didn't even use the temple no more. Remember the temple was in shambles and they were worshiping Baal, and you remember all that? And all of a sudden Josiah becomes the king, and what does he do? He's got a heart for God as a young man, and he says, you know what? It's time to open up the house of God. In fact, you remember they sent people down there to clean the house, and when they were, what did they do? They found a copy of the Word of God. You ever hear people preach on that? The lost word. The word wasn't lost, by the way. The word was where it's supposed to be at. It was in the house of God. The people were lost. Amen? But when this young man that had a general heart for God said, we need to revive that temple. We need to clean it up, fix it up. And man, we need to get back to worshiping the Lord because it's in needs repair because it's been neglected. Amen? The nation had got away from God so far when they found a copy of the Word of God. They read it. And guess what happened? They brought it to King Josiah. And when he read it, you know what he did? And he fell on his face. He wept. He prayed and said, God, we are in deep trouble. And let me tell you what he realized when he looked into the book. He realized how far they had gotten away from God. And he realized, by the way, how much they deserved God's judgment. And he pleaded, amen. When you're oblivious to the book, you don't even realize sometimes how far you get from something, amen. This is our fixed point of reference, isn't it? James chapter number 4. I want you to know, listen, here's the steps to worldliness. Here's the steps to worldliness. And by the way, I believe I mentioned last week, by way of example, Demas. How that Demas was a co-laborer with the Apostle Paul. But yet we find the Apostle saying with a broken heart, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. Anybody can be taken by this world. Listen to me. Let him that thinks he stand, take heed. Any one of us. Hey, we're none of us are out of the woods until we're out of this world. Amen. Look at James chapter 4. Here's the steps to worldliness. Let me give you the first step. Ready? We're just friends. We're just friends. Look at James chapter 4. Look at verse number 4. You adulterers and adulteresses. Now, what James is doing, he's calling God's people who are in the world adulterers and adulteresses. Why? They're in spiritual adultery. You remember in the Old Testament, often God would refer to when his people forsook him, he would say they went a whoring, if you will. It's spiritual. It's being unfaithful to God. When you're saved and you're related to him and you get away from him and love the world, you become unfaithful to God, right? He said, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that what? The friendship of the what? World is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Listen, here's how the progression is. You're just friends. You start out just friends. Now I'm going to make a statement here. Be friendly to always, but be careful with being friends with. You understand what I'm saying to you? You got to be careful on the job, wherever it is. Always friendly to, always friendly to, but be very, very careful with becoming friends with the world. Amen. That's how it starts. That's how it starts. We become friends of the world. Here's what happens. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. This is the steps. Let me put it this way. If I could put it this way, steps to a bad relationship. Amen. Steps to a bad relationship. And this is the truth. Oh, we're just friends. How many people have heard that before? Oh, we're just friends. I encourage young people. Be careful with being just friends with unsaved people. Amen? You know what the scriptures talk about and not being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. 1 John chapter number 2. I want you to see something. Steps to worldliness. Oh, just friends. Just friends. Just friends. It almost sounds like casual contact. Just friends. What happens when you're just friends eventually and you stay friends eventually? 1 John 2:15. You start to fall in love. Just friends fall in love. Now listen, if both are saved and it's the Lord, become friends, then fall in love. Amen? But we're talking about with the world. We're talking about a relationship with the world. Amen? Verse number 15, 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15, it says this, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So what happens is Christians just become friends with the world. We're just friends. But we're friends so much and so often we start to grow fond of each other and we fall in love. Here's the steps of worldliness. Amen? And then before you know it, by the way, that's what happened to Demas I just mentioned. He forsook me. He fell in love with this present world. Amen? And then here's the last thing that happens. Look, turn to Romans chapter number 12, please. Romans chapter number 12. We're talking about steps to worldliness. Amen? Be careful who you become friends with. Amen? Be very, very careful. Romans chapter number 8. People who become friends with people and all of a sudden they're now falling in love with these people and before you know it, that friendship turns into something more. Amen? Romans chapter 12. So we go from being friends with the world to falling in love with the world. And then finally, look at Romans chapter 12. Look at verse number 2. Here he says, be not conformed to this world. You know what that is? They become like. Christians become friends with the world. They fall in love with the world. And guess what happens? They become like the world. Amen? Now, what is the danger of this? Well, here's the danger of this. The fact that Jesus said, and I mentioned this last week in John 17, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. Amen? God's people, the church, is a called out assembly. Ecclesia, right? That's what the church is. A called out. Called out of where? Called out of the world. In fact, Acts chapter number 15, verse number 14. God is calling out of the Gentiles, get this, a people for his name. Amen? You and I that are saved and you and I that have come into the church, if you will, we're saved, we're baptized, we're in the church. God has called us out of this world unto himself. Amen? Now we're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Amen? We are in this world for his name. What happens when the world conquers you? Well, you no longer make a difference. I like what, by the way, the Lord knoweth them that are his. 2 Timothy 2:19. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Amen. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from what? Iniquity. You can't depart from all sin because you can't be sinless. Iniquity is living in willful sin. You know, let me tell you what Paul said. He said, some of these things should not be once named among you. Amen. God called us out of this world for his name. And he says, listen, for my name, if you bear my name, make sure you stay clean. Be a good advertisement for the Lord. Amen. I was driving somewhere. And this guy pulled up to me and he's jamming. He's got them. By the way, I wish they would just turn that stuff down. I'm trying to listen to some good, peaceful music. And summertime's here. And if it's not extremely hot, I want a little fresh air. And they're right up next to you and their music is dominating my music. You know what I mean? But this car pulls up and he's got rap music on about as loud as anything, but the wording of it. The wording of it was real bad. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, he pulls away, and I see on the back, I see the fish, and I see, you know, Jesus in the middle of the fish. Boy, you have no idea. I wanted to catch up with him and, you know, tell him, you know, it just don't jive, brother. It don't jive. That music, which you're listening to with what you're, it's a bad advertisement. Amen? And that's the thought of it. You and I name the name of Christ. And we got to maintain our cleanliness for his honor, for his glory. Amen. For his praise. Can I get an amen on that one? All right. God's people are to be an influence to this world. We are not to be influenced by this world. Amen. That's the main thing. And there's many other scriptures that refer to this in 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 9. Again, it refers to, he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we should show forth the praises of him. Amen? He called us out of this dark, dirty world, brought us in, cleaned us up, and he wants us to be for his glory. Let your light so shine, your life so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works in comparison to your old bad works. Amen. Why? That they'll glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Philippians chapter 2 verses 12 to 15 emphasize, do all things without murmuring and disputing. God's working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure, that you may shine forth as lights in this crooked generation. Amen. That's what he's doing. He's doing that work. We all have to be so very, very careful, do we not, in this world, becoming friends with the world, falling in love with the world, and then becoming like the world. And when we become like the world, get this, we lose our effectiveness. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, you are the salt of the earth, right? And if it says this, if the salt loses its savor, wherewith will it be salted? If you and I lose our effectiveness as Christians, who's going to make a difference in the world? Do you know what Jesus said when salt loses its saltiness? You know what he calls it? Good for, anybody know? Nothing. I'll be honest with you, there could be a sermon preached on the good for nothing Christian. Can I get a witness on that one? That's the truth. When we lose our light and we lose our effectiveness, what are we good for? The air conditioner blows, what's it good for? Amen. If we're not functioning, if we're conquered by this world, amen, we have to be very, 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 very concerned, amen. I think what we'll do is we'll actually, let me go for another just a moment or two. I want you to turn with me for a moment to the book of Hosea. Now, if you have a problem finding Hosea chapter number 7, go to Hosea chapter 8 then and just back up one chapter. Hosea. Hosea is right after the book of Daniel. Somebody just caught on to that one. Amen. Somebody is alive. If you have a hard time finding Hosea, just go to Daniel, because Hosea is right after Daniel. I think we're going to do is I'm going to have to pick up on this, because I didn't finish this theme yet, but we'll pick up on this on the next service. Worldliness is something, listen, we all have to battle it. Amen. We have to battle it in order to stay right and effective for the Lord. Amen. Hosea chapter number 7, and I want you to look with me. By the way, Hosea is a great book. Boy, it's a great book, but it expresses the unfaithfulness of God's people, Israel, the northern kingdom, the unfaithfulness of those people, but yet the faithfulness of God, his love for these people. But in Hosea chapter number 7, look at verse number 8. Here's what the Bible says. This is what God, through the prophet, says about Ephraim. Ephraim is another term for the northern kingdom, if you will, that had gotten away from the Lord. Ephraim, guess what it says, hath mixed himself among the people. And what is he saying here is they lost their separation. They've mixed themselves among the people. Man, how many churches and how many Christians have just thrown themselves in this world that they do not make a difference for the Lord? Amen. Here's what he says, verse number 8. Ephraim hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is, what does it say? A cake not turned. What does that mean? It's half baked. Half baked. When you throw yourself in this world and mix yourself in with this world, you're like a half baked cake. Do you know what a half baked cake is good for?
Nothing.
Nothing. Exactly. And that's the point. We are here in this world to make a difference. Amen? That's the thing. If it wasn't so, in fact, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, the promise of his coming to get us. Amen? But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The very context of that is, why hasn't the Lord come back yet? He's long-suffering. Toward who? Toward the world. Toward usward. We were a part of that. Thank God he was long-suffering enough for us to get saved. Amen? And he's still long-suffering for them to get saved. He's not come to get us yet, because he still wants to reach more people. Amen? We're here for their sake. But oh, while we're here as ambassadors, We our citizenship is in heaven. We are we belong to the Lord. We're of another country. I mentioned last week, this world's not our home. Why am I here? We've been sent here as ambassadors to preach the word of God to the lost and to help them to get reconciled to the Lord. Amen. And so we have to really, really be careful to be godly people and to maintain separation. We'll pick up on this because I still have quite a few more things to say, and we'll finish it up in the morning service, the Lord willing. Let's pray. Father, as we just take a break for a little bit for some fellowship and restroom use and so on, I pray that you'll allow us in the next service to pick up where we left off and just to be able to preach on this very, very vital topic of the fact that we are in this world, but we need to make sure that we don't become a part of it and mix ourselves with it and lose our effectiveness for you, that you want to use us to reach others. Dear Lord, help us to maintain a distinction as your people for your name. I pray you'll bless this time of fellowship now in Jesus' name. Amen.